I've got a series of questions and answers today that I want to go through. My first question is this: how do we get free from sin? How do we get free from sin? When you're lost, you're not a Christian. How do you get free from sin? How do you become a Christian? Well, many of you know the answer, but here's the answer. We realize what Jesus did for us on the cross, and we ask Jesus into our lives. He comes into our hearts, and we become as clean as He is. Somebody say, I'm as clean as He is. Why? Because he made you clean. Look at this verse. This is such an awesome verse. Look at this verse. For He made Him, for He, that's God, made Him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin. How many know Jesus didn't sin? To be sin for us. Oh, come on. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. See, that's what happened when you accepted Jesus into your heart. Jesus then comes in and He changes you from the inside out.
Amen.
How many glad that you chose Jesus?
Oh, come on.
I don't know. We used to sing a song, and man, we ought to look this song up. It was kind of a crazy song, but it was a fun song, and it was like, you know what? And it was a song where they went through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you were supposed to stand up on the day that you got saved. And everybody would sing it together. How many remember this? Does anybody know this song? Okay, you know, okay, it's a cool song. And it's like, you know what? I got saved on a Monday. You know what? And everybody would stand up. Or was it a Tuesday? And what? It didn't go like that. But was it a Wednesday? Do you know that song? Okay, well, we got to sing it someday. Anyway, maybe we'll sing it on a Sunday. And I didn't even know which day to stand up.
Oh, come on.
Pastor, you're not saved? No. It's not that I'm not saved. I was just born in the church, and I wasn't sure what day I got saved. I figured it was probably a Sunday, so I would stand up on the Sunday. But I wasn't sure what day I was saved, but here's what I was sure. I was sure that I was saved.
Amen.
I was sure that I was saved.
Amen.
And I not only sure was that I was saved, but I was sure that the best decision that I ever made was when I accepted Jesus inside my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because I was full of sin, and because of what Jesus did, He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
What a great, great, great day that was. What a great day that was. Let me ask you another question. But what happens when we ask Jesus in our hearts? What happens when we do that? Jesus, come inside my heart. What happens? Well, here's what happens. His Spirit comes into us, and we become born a second time.
Amen. Amen.
If you are only born once, listen, if you are only born once, get born again today.
Amen.
How do you do that? You just ask Jesus to come in your heart, and I say it like this: He changes you from the inside out, but what He really does is He really comes into your heart. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I said it like this. God doesn't fix you, He changes you.
There it is.
He doesn't fix you, He changes you. And what I want you to understand, listen to me, I don't know who this is for, but you really need to take inventory in your life. The Bible tells you in the New Testament to take inventory whether you're really saved. You know the Bible says that?
Yeah.
How many know this isn't something you want to not be sure about?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Now, let me give you a test. This is a great way to test it. If sin doesn't bother you, you're probably not saved. Thank you. I think I will. If sin doesn't bother you, you're probably not born again. And listen, I want to make this church the most comfortable church you've ever been in. Amen. How many did I say hi to already? Raise your hand real high if I greeted you already today. See, all are twice. Thank you. All, you know, and listen, if I haven't greeted you, let me greet you. Hi. I am so glad you're here today. And listen, that's not some superficial thing that I'm doing. That's serious. You guys are here, and I can't get to everyone. You know what? But I do want to let you know, Tamara and I are so glad you're here. It means everything to us. Yeah. I lost my train of thought. Uncomfortable. Thank you. And I hope you're comfortable. I hope the temperature is just right. I hope the music wasn't too loud. I hope, you know what, you enjoyed the music. I hope you were greeted. You know what? I hope you were able to go and get a, you know, cafe latte pake or something, whatever we got back there. You know what I mean? I like getting that stuff here. You know what? Instead of going to Starbucks. Starbucks ain't Starbucks. Starbucks is $4. No. It's $5. No. I'm sorry. It's $6 now. Okay. But my point is this. I want you to feel comfortable. But if that means that I don't want you to be that comfortable. If comfortable means that I'm not going to tell you the truth that's ruining your life already. See, the Bible says that the commandments of God are not burdensome. I would talk to pastors and say, hey, you better watch it. Because we are called to call people to righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Not to condemn anybody. Amen. It's not our position to condemn. But it's our position to say to people, hey, this is the standard of God. And if we are, watch what we need to do. If you're not saved, get born again today. Amen. Ask Jesus in your life. He'll come inside and he won't fix you. He'll change you.
Amen.
But he'll do it from the inside out.
But
if you're saved already, how many saved already? Raise your hand real high if you're saved already. Well, ask yourself, are you comfortable with sin?
No.
Because if you're not comfortable with sin, you're probably not really born again. You're probably just go to church. Pastor, it's not good to go to church? No. I'm glad you're at church. I'm glad you're at church. I just want us to recognize that God is real and that we need to conform to Him. We need to be careful in the church that we're not making church a place where we're asking God to conform to our standards.
Right.
See, and I don't ever want you to feel when you walk out, you know what, that I belittled you or demeaned you, because that is not my heart. But if you feel like something that was said that got in your face, then you know what, you need to thank God that you have a pastor who teaches the Word of God.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, you know what, we've had some people in this church and they've had heart surgery. And after the heart surgery, they don't just get up and go, ooh, you know what? Well, let's go to Tommy's, you know what I mean? Let's go to Wendy's, you know, and let's, you know what, have some chili cheese fries or whatever. No, they're like, you know what, how you know, I'll go in, they'll be lying on there, how you feeling? You know, they can barely move. What do you think? They cut them open. You know, sometimes you'll come to this church and the Holy Spirit will slap you around a little bit. Amen. But how many know the Bible says, to whom he loves, he chastises.
Thank you, Lord.
See, God's not trying to slap you around because he just wants to slap you around. He's actually trying to get you to recognize there's choices that you've made, and they're bad choices, and they're going to hurt you, and they're going to hurt your family. And they're going to hurt your kids, and they're going to hurt your grandkids. The Bible says, choose life that you and your descendants might live. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, you have to ask yourself, you know what? What happens when you ask Jesus Christ? He comes into your heart. And he causes you to be reborn. He doesn't fix you. He causes you to be reborn again.
Amen.
Why? Because you are all jacked up. Amen. I heard of this man. He's a builder, and he went to this building. And they were hoping that he would help them fix it. And he didn't fix it. He didn't help them fix it at all. He said, I don't want to fix this building. Let's tear it down and build something new. How many recognize that's what God does when he comes into your heart? He just says, fix it. Nah. Let's just get them born again. Because that's what they need. Does this make sense to anybody? But I want you to notice, his spirit comes into us. Let me give you a couple passages on this so you'd understand this is actually what happens. For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as for Christ, we speak. I don't even know what that's there for, but. Sorry, that was the wrong one. It was probably 1 Corinthians. That's all right. I got it in another place. This is what the Bible says. I'm sure that was a good verse too, though. Right? Amen? Okay, watch this. Same. Guys, go to... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, now we got it. Okay, Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him.
Amen.
Are you catching this? I will come into him. Are you born again?
Yes.
Okay. Are you born again?
Yes.
Say, Jesus is inside of me.
Jesus is inside.
Okay. I'm gonna come in. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Watch this. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one. Okay. Now, we read this verse and we understand this verse and we don't, but many times there's an application that we don't understand. I want you to see this application. For he is joined to the Lord, is one spirit with him. See, now he's not talking about, now he's saying, let me tell you what happened. God's spirit came inside of you, and now you and he are one spirit. Remember in Ephesians, it's talking about the same thing. And he says, this is a profound mystery.
Yeah.
Remember this? And it's like, whoa, how does that happen? It's a profound mystery. Supernaturally, that's how it happens. I mean, no, there's things that we just have to accept by faith. We have to believe them, not because we understand it fully, but because God said that's what happened.
That's right.
Is this ministering to anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Why am I taking time and talking about this? Because you need to understand what happened when you got born again. God's Spirit lives inside of you. And he who is joined to the Lord. Are you joined to the Lord? Are you Christian?
Yes.
Is one spirit with, notice what's it, big H. You're one spirit with God.
Yes.
You're one spirit with God. How do I know that? Because that's what the Bible says.
Amen. Yes.
Did you get born again? Okay, then here's what happened. You, but he who is joined to the Lord. Yes, I want Jesus to come inside me. You're joined to the Lord. Here's what happened. You know what? You and him are one spirit now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's good theology. So my next question is this. Can we still make bad choices? Can we still make bad choices?
Yes.
I'm asking, can you still make bad choices? What happened to my illustration? How come they keep on eating my illustrations? Oh, okay, sorry. Thank you. Oh, my wife, she's so good. So you know what? So, how many? Do you like these? Do you like these? Well, which one do you want? You want the red one, or you want the purple one? You can purple one. Okay, good. Then you get the red one. Good. Praise the Lord. Who's hungry today? I know you guys are okay. Okay, so you taking that one right there? Okay, then you get that one. That one's good. That one's good. Okay, see how easy this is? How many know we choose all the time? We make choices every day. How many have made some good choices in your life? Okay, how many made some bad choices in your life? Okay, if your hand's not up, you're lying. That's a bad choice. Amen. No. Amen. Come on. How many made some bad choices in your life?
Yeah.
See, just because you're one spirit with God doesn't mean you can't still make bad choices. Is this making sense to anybody? Romans 7:15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. Have you ever done something stupid? You're like, so stupid. How many of you said, that's so stupid. Oh, I'm so stupid. How many ever said that? Man, I'm so stupid. Okay. Well, you are quoting Paul. Amen. That's what Paul's saying. For what I'm doing, I don't understand. How many know you're smart to not do stupid things? So how come you did that bad choice that you knew? How many ever made a choice and before you made it, you knew it was stupid?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Before you made it, you knew it was a bad choice. I don't understand. Well, he's saying, I don't understand why. Why when I knew already that it was a dumb choice, how come I did that? For what I will to do. How many ever started a diet? Amen. And that day that you started a diet, you ate more than you have eaten in the whole month. Come on. I mean, you just like, okay, so watch. For what I will to do, I do not practice that. I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Okay. So how many know we all understand that just because the Spirit of God lives inside of us doesn't change that we can still make bad choices.
Right.
Does this make sense? Now listen, I'm going over some theological points to you because I got to lead you to where I'm going to lead you. But this stuff is all important that you understand. My fourth question is this. But when I choose bad choices, what is really going on? What's really going on inside of me? And this is really critical that you understand this question. And it's really important that that we answer this according to the Word of God, not according to our knowledge. And let me tell you why. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he comes to steal is to rip off your identity. He wants to steal who you really are. And the next thing you know, you think that you just are some, you just don't understand who you really are. And that's what he wants to steal from you. Because when he can steal your identity, he can rip you off.
Oh, that's right.
He can destroy you. And eventually he can kill you.
Yep.
So we need to answer this, but we need to answer this biblically. But when I choose bad choices, what's really going on? Well, let's answer that question. Here's what's really going on. The Spirit is not choosing that. The flesh is. Remember, the two become one? That you become one spirit with God? That's what the Bible says? But that's not the Spirit of God that's choosing that. Who's choosing that? That's your bonehead old nature that's choosing that. Let me give you a verse on that, just so you know. Now, these verses are important because Paul is about to say something to you that's going to blow your mind.
That's right. Come on.
That's why it's really important when you're teaching, to particularly in concepts that are really hard to understand. How many know in a lot of churches, I grew up in church. I grew up, my father was a Baptist minister all his life, and I learned so many great things in the Baptist church. But I learned some things that weren't so good. Can anybody relate? Maybe some of you came from a four-square church and you learned some great things in the four-square church, but there were some things that were unbiblical that you learned.
Yeah.
Or maybe some of you were Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic. How many know there's some crazy things in the Catholic church out there? I mean, all is this not true? And we learned those, and watch this, and the reason why we didn't raise our hands and say, you know what, to the priest or the pastor, hey, what's up with that? That's not, you know what I mean, what the Word of God says. It's because we didn't know the Word of God.
That's right, Pastor.
How many know why I want you to bring your Bibles?
Yeah.
So I'm about to show you something, and you know what, it's going to be a whopper, amen? But the Word of God is true. So let me prove it to you. Watch this. Romans chapter 7, verse 17. This is such a familiar passage. The very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. I'm so jacked up. But right in the text, we don't even see what Paul is really saying. Look at this. But now, he's talking about when he does the wrong things. But now, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. When you make bad choices, what's going on? Paul says, who you really are, that's not going on. You're not doing that. Now, someone's doing it, but it's not you. He calls it sin that dwells in you. Yeah, some of you are like, what are you saying, Pastor? All right, let's hear it. Watch, he'll say it. He'll say it again in a minute. Watch this. Verse 18. For I know that in me, watch this, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells.
That's right.
For the will is present in me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, I practice. How many can relate to that? Watch this point. But here's what he's going to say it again. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. That's a whopper, huh?
Yeah.
What Paul is saying is, he's saying inside you, there's your old nature, your flesh, and what we learned, there's the spirit that's united with God. And he's saying, when I do stupid things, that's not me who's doing it. That's this knucklehead that used to be here. But he's still there. I know. But he won't identify with that's who he is. Amen? So what's really going on when you make your boneheaded choice? I'm not saying you don't have a choice. I'm not saying you're not choosing it. You know what? You know, you ram into the church van today, backing up. You know what I mean? Just boom, ram into it. I come out there, what's up with that? You're like, Pastor, I didn't do it. That was sin that dwells inside me. I'll say, no, Jackson, give me your insurance, because you know what? Because you did that. You know, can you imagine? You know what? You get pulled over on the freeway. You know what I mean? I mean, you're late. You're going 90 on the freeway. Cop pulls you over. He says, you know, can I have your license? You can say, yeah, sure, you can have my license. And then he's looking at license, and he says, is this you? You say, no, that's not me. You know what? That's sin that dwells in me. That's who you're looking at. And the guy who's driving this car, that ain't me either. You know what? Let me tell you who I am. I'm the guy who only drives 65. Amen? So give that ticket to somebody, but don't give it to me, because you know what? That's not who I am. Well, you might theologically be right, but how many know he's still going to give you a ticket? How many know this truth doesn't relegate you not to be responsible for your actions? I'm going to say that again. This truth doesn't relegate you to not be responsible for your actions, but it does give you insight on what's going on. And when you have insight of what's going on, is really good, because I'm going to show you in a minute how to fix this problem. Listen, when you got born again, or when you accepted Jesus, there's a reality that you were free from the consequences of sin. How many glad you're free from the consequences of your sin? But when you got born again, you're not only free from the consequences of your sin, you have been given the power to be free from the power of sin.
Amen.
Yeah, some of you are like, what I do, I don't want to do it, but I still do it. You're so in that mode that what I just said, you can't even say amen for.
Wow.
Listen. The same blood of Jesus that cleansed you so that you are free from the consequences of sin is the same power that empowers you, same blood that empowers you to be free from the power of sin.
Amen.
Amen. I know that's a hard concept for somebody to say amen, because many times, because we have identified for so long with your flesh. But it's time for us to stop identifying with the wrong nature. So, big question for us today. You guys ready for the big question for today? Here's the big question for today. Ready? How do we get free? How do I get free from sin now that I am a Christian?
Nice.
How do I get free from this? I'm still doing stuff that I don't want to do. Well, thanks for asking. We focus on what Jesus did on the cross. You know what? We do the same thing that we did when we got born again. We focus on Jesus. You know, the little boy, it was, you know, Easter time, and the teacher said, you know what? What hops around, got a big fuzzy tail, got big flappy ears. Guy in the front row raises his hand, says, you know what? I know that sounds like a bunny, but I know the answer to everything is Jesus. You know, how many know there is a reality? The answer to everything is Jesus. And when you, before you were, when you weren't saved, when you weren't a Christian, the answer for you to get fixed and get into the kingdom of God was Jesus. Amen. The same answer is the same answer. If you're saved already, you know what you need? You need Jesus. And you need to focus on what he did on the cross. Because if you focus on what who he is and what he did on the cross, you'll start to understand. You know, we spend so much time trying to fix ourselves, and we don't need to fix ourselves. We need to just identify with Jesus Christ inside of us. Okay, can I show you all this? Galatians, thank you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, I'm always going to have a problem with lust. Because after all, you know, Pastor, don't you know? And you're going to start to tell me about how men are visual. And you think you got to go to the mall and just, you know, play, you know, act like you're in a ping pong tournament. You know, you're just watching the dress and watching the, you know what, the skirt and watching the, you know, you're just playing ping pong. And I'm saying, what are you doing? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right. See, there is an answer for us choosing wrong, and the answer is to start to choose right. Yeah. So you start to recognize, no, I don't have to choose wrong. I can. There's something inside of me. The old picture of that you see in the cartoons of, you know what, the cat going after the rat or the mouse, and then the pop goes in his head. No, don't hurt that cute little mouse. You know what I mean? And then the other thing pops up. You know what I mean? Oh, you know you deserve it. Eat that mouse. You know what I mean? Listen, that happens. That's real. That happens all the time in our life. So watch this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't feel the lust of the flesh. Watch this next verse. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Let me tell you why you don't do the things you wish. Because there's something else inside of you saying, don't do that. Or saying, do that, whatever it is. Don't forgive them. Don't give that amount of money. Don't, you know what? Don't serve. You know what? Just stay in bed today. Just, you know what? Don't forgive your neighbor. Don't forgive your wife. Don't forgive your husband. Whatever he's saying, that's real. And there's this war that's going on. But notice don't forget what the Bible says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? That tells me this is obtainable.
Amen. Amen.
I'll show you that to you in another passage. This is obtainable. So what's my next question? Well, let me ask you this. So what is the choice that we need to make? We choose to die to ourselves and to live through Christ. Amen. Let me give you a passage on this. This was my dad's life verse. Okay, and Paul writes this: I have been crucified with Christ. Amen. I have been crucified with Christ. See, all you have to do is just remind yourself that you're dead. Oh yeah, that selfish Drew, that lustful Drew, that, you know, non-respectful Drew, that whatever, that unforgiving Drew. Oh, that guy, he's dead. He died. Amen. He's dead. That guy's dead. For I have been crucified. Why? Because I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Amen. Somebody say, I don't live anymore.
I don't live anymore.
Come on, somebody say, I don't live anymore.
I don't live anymore.
Somebody say, I don't live anymore.
I don't live anymore.
You know, remember that song? Love don't live here anymore. Yeah. I love that song. You know what? It's a great song. Look it up on.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, here. I don't live here anymore. I don't live here anymore. You're barking, Satan, you're barking up the wrong tree. That's not who I am. That's who I was. But that guy died. Is that what it says? This is Paul saying. Listen, this is how I walk victorious. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Is that not what we learned? Christ lives in me, and the life which I live now, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, watch this, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
You know what I do? I do the same thing I did when I get born again. I focus on Jesus. I focus on him. I focus on his spirit. If you're led of the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
I focus on Jesus Christ. And I get off me. You know what I want, what's good for me. You know what the best thing for you is to give your life to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It was the best thing when years ago, maybe you were at a camp. Maybe you were at some kind of a Christian convention. Maybe you were at a church. Maybe you were this church. And you gave your life to Jesus. But in the course of time, sometimes we give our life to Jesus, and then we have choices in our life, and we take our life back.
Yeah.
And God says, no. Paul says, let me tell you how I do it. I've been crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. When Christ died on that cross, I died on that cross. Why? So I can live with Christ. He resurrected, I resurrected. Not that old goofball. How many are tired of living, you know what, with the goofball choices that you've made?
Oh,
I'm asking, how many are tired of those bad choices messing up your life? Well, this is good news today. You don't have to allow those choices, but you do have to die to yourself, which is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Do I really have a choice? You have a choice every day. You know, how many of you started reading Robert Morris' book? I gave it to you. How many started reading Robert Morris' book? 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. 5, 6, 7. Good. 8. Okay, all kinds of... Robert Morris says this in his book. He says, you know what? Every week you have a test on whether you're going to bring the tithe into the storehouse or not. He says every week you have a test. See, it's interesting to me because how many of the Bible says this? That we need to not just be hearers but doers of the word. See, God wants us to be a practical Christian. God wants us to act different than we acted before. Amen. So you got Joe living on this side,
right, Joe,
and you got you living on that side,
right.
And you know what? Peter lives in between.
Yeah.
And Joe is not a Christian, and you are a Christian. Well, Peter should see the difference between you and Joe. Amen. Do you have a choice? You absolutely have a choice. It's time that we recognize that we have the ability to choose. Absolutely, you choose. Look at what 1 Peter says. Beloved, I pray that you as sojourners and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul. Why in the world would Peter tell us to abstain if we don't have the power to abstain?
Oh.
See, we've been conned. We've been conned, well, you know, everybody's human. Everybody, you know what? Can we blow some smoke out of the air? Amen. Can we allow First Peter to blow some smoke out of the air? Blow the conning that we've conned ourselves, that we don't have a choice. No, we have a choice to give. We have a choice to forgive. We have a choice to what we're going to do with our finances. We have a choice that what we're going to do with our relationships. Amen.
Amen.
We have all kinds of choices. We have a choice whether we're going to serve God and God is going to use us mightily, or we have a choice where we're just going to be selfish and, you know what, and just give God. We can, how many know, and many times we can just give God a little portion and say, no. Isn't that what happened in the book of Acts? Remember this? You know what? What were their names? Come on, somebody help me out. What was their names? Ananias and Sapphira. Remember? Come on, what was their names? Yeah, and what did they gave? Oh, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. They probably had their Bible in their hand, you know. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look, somebody give me one of those imitation things on the back. Here, I'll get it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What in the world? You know what? And we, you know what the craziest deception is? Self-deception.
Yeah.
And you can convince yourself that what you're doing is godly and God, but how many know? You know, you can't. Listen, God will not be mocked. You're not going to con him. And you can con, you know, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm bringing the tithe in the storehouse. That ain't a tithe, amen? A tithe is a tenth. And a tenth is the first fruit. That's what the tithe is. That's what it is. It's just what it is. And you can con yourself. Or, watch it, in the Bible, doesn't he say, it says bring the tithes and the offerings. Amen? Like, oh, hallelujah. And you know what? And it's not, listen, it's just not about giving. It's about forgiving. It's about living your life where you have become the Lord of your life. You run your life. And God says, look, what's up with that? No. Abstain from fleshly lusts. They're warring. Listen, they're warring against that spirit that is born again, and you want to do the right thing. So stop being, what's that word, duplicitous or something? Duplicity. Stop walking in duplicity, where you are, you know what, acting like this and then acting like that, and then you're conning yourself. It is, no, really, I'm like this. Hey, stop fighting it. Just get in. Just come to Jesus. Just submit to what the Spirit of God is leading you to. Amen?
Amen.
Do you really have a choice? Absolutely, you have a choice. So how do I walk in this victory? Choose the Spirit. Choose the Spirit. Watch this. A couple of verses. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Seek those things. Set your minds on the things above, not the things on the earth. Set your mind on the things above. Start to pray. Start to incline yourself. But Pastor, the Bible says, if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit? Read your Bible every day. The Bible says, the Word is Spirit and it's life.
Amen.
And you're going to start, watch this, you're going to start to incline. The Bible says, incline your ears to my understanding. You know what? Let me give you a word picture of incline your ear. Is everybody watching? Here's a word picture. Incline your ear to my understanding.
There it is. Go on, incline.
See, but I don't know the will of God. Well, just open up the Bible and read the Bible. Amen. Well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, I didn't understand algebra till I remember my first, you know what, my first day in algebra class at Pioneer High School. And I looked at this, you know, Y over C over X to the fifth power. I'm like, what is this? I don't understand any of that. Now, true story is at the end of the semester, I still didn't understand much of it. But you understand, I understood more than I ever did because I started reading it. You know, listen, the lie is, oh, this is too hard to understand. No, it's too hard to understand if you never read it.
Right.
You start reading it every day. God isn't trying to keep revelation from you. He's trying to get revelation to you. That's why you have the Bible, amen? You can read it every day. You can pray every day. Oh, I'm too busy to pray. Then let me tell you what you're going to do. You're not going to be inclined. Watch this. You're not going to be inclined to making the right choices. You're not going to be led of the Spirit. There's going to be a choice you're going to make, and you're going to make a bonehead choice, and it's going to be the wrong choice, and you're going to do it anyway. And then after you do it, you're going to say, oh, I'm so stupid. And the truth is, you just chose wrong. If you're led in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's going to bring death to you. Every time. Every time. So set your mind on the things above. Watch this. So he went to the Father, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it's possible, how many know who's speaking here?
Jesus.
If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Now you're going to learn something about Jesus. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
Amen.
That's what you need to say to God every day. That's what you need to say to God throughout the day.
Amen.
You need to submit to God's will. Be walking the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And your life is going to get really, really, really good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
See, the reason why your life is jacked up, I'm smiling, right? The reason why we are jacked up to the degree that we're jacked up many times is because we just are making choices based on this part of the nature that all we have to say is, no, that guy died. That guy's dead.
Yeah.
Amen. That's
all
we have to do. But who's alive? Christ, Jesus. I wore this on purpose. My daughter gave me a Christmas gift, and it's a silver one, and I like wearing this. But I like wearing that one, but I like wearing this one too because my wife gave me this one.
Amen.
And this one says WWJD. Amen. How many remember this? These should be real popular. Amen. It needs to still be popular in this church. What would Jesus do? I was wearing this in the grocery store, and some guy said, hey, wow, that's a nice bracelet. I said, yeah, my wife gave it to me. He says, what did it say on it? I said, it says WWJD. He said, I know what that means. That means what would Jesus do? He said, you know what Jesus would do? I said, no, what? He said, Jesus would give me that bracelet. That was clever, was it not? I thought that was smart. That was good. Here's what I'm pointing out to you. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is our example, and he says, let me tell you what I do. Every single decision, I don't care, watch this, I don't care how my mind thinks. See, stop deferring to yourself. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. You're walking around, and you're falling and falling and falling and falling and falling, and you're miserable, and your life is frustrated. And here's why. Because you think you're too smart. Bible says pride comes before a fall. No. You're not smarter than God.
That's right.
Just ask yourself, God, what would you do in this situation? He'll tell you.
Amen.
He'll tell you. How would you pray? Pray like this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Gosh, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start to pray that you would do what's going on in heaven.
Amen. There it is.
You think there's anybody not believing God in heaven?
Oh,
Amen. You think there's anybody who's discouraged in heaven? You think there's anybody who doubts in heaven? You think there's anybody who steals in heaven? Here's how I want you to pray. I want you to start praying, and it's like, oh, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, hallelujah to you. Yeah. Pray that God's will be done in your life. Right. Let the world-changing reality start with you. Yeah. Pray. No, God, I pray from now on that your will would be done in my family. That I would start acting like Jesus to my wife instead of acting like, you know what, that old bonehead who used to, you know what, dude. No, that guy died. That guy's dead. Reckon yourself dead. That's what the Bible says. Philippians, you know what? I can do all things. Yes, I can do all things. Through what? Through you? No. Through Christ that strengthens me. Is this making sense to anybody? John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The problem is we are too self-reliant, not enough God-reliant. To walk in the Spirit is to say, I ain't going to do anything except the Spirit doesn't tell me to do it. I'm going to be led. Every decision, every day. What I listen to on the radio, what I watch TV, what, you know, some of us, it's like, you know, you're watching something on TV, and if Jesus came walking in, you'd be, oh, where's the control? TBN, where is TBN? I don't even know where it is. Oh, hello? Some of what you listening to on the radio, you'd be like, oh, where's the Christian station? Oh, where's the Christian station? Jesus is in my car. Where's the Christian station? Oh, but thank God, Jesus isn't in my car. Oh, thank God, Jesus isn't in my house. Hey, Jackson, did I tell you what the worst deception was? Self-deception. You're deceived. You, the Spirit, are one. You've been born again. So now Paul says, no, start acting like it. Is this making sense? How many still glad they came today? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves. Guys, here's the good news. You can do what you want to do today. You are free from sin. You are free from sin. How do I do that? Just start to rely on the Spirit. The flesh wants to sleep in. The spirit's willing. Amen. Does the Bible say that? The Spirit is willing. What does the Bible say? The flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing. Flesh is weak. You know what I mean? What do? You do what Paul said. You beat your flesh. You tell your flesh, flesh, get up. You're going to pay this morning. Amen. Instead of your flesh telling you what to do. Amen. We're going to read the Bible today. We're going to be filled. We're going to start, and all these things, a little bit at a time, start acclimating yourself to the Spirit of God. Next thing you know what? People look at Tamara and I, and they go, I don't understand. I don't understand. You know what? When I lived in Newport Beach, you know what? One of Tamara's best friends, you know what? Lori. I used to call her Lori Bory. I called her Lori Bory, huh? And Lori, you know what, said, I'll tell you what, you know, Drewby, she called me Drewby. She said, Drewby is the luckiest guy I know. I'm not the luckiest guy. And I'm not the luckiest guy you know. I'm the most godly person you know. I don't say that with that sounds prideful, but I don't say it with pride. I was the most godly person she knew. See, good choice is good life. Stop thinking that you have to make bad choices. Nope, you don't. You don't. Somebody say, I don't. If you choose, see, that's the world we live in. We make bad choices. We go, oh, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. Pray. Read his word. Listen to what the Spirit is telling you. Allow the Spirit to rule in your life. Allow the Spirit to rule in your life. I guarantee you, every single listen to me. If you're born again, I guarantee you, every single decision that you made, Richard, quickly come on up here. Every single decision that you will be Richard, every single decision that you made, if it was, let's say this side's a bad decision. It's a bad decision. He's going towards a bad decision. I guarantee you, and this is true to Richard, this is true to me, this is true to every single person here. I guarantee you, the Spirit was doing everything he could to say, don't go that direction.
Amen, amen.
But what the Spirit will not do is he won't grab your clothes.
Right, right. It's your choice.
It won't.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, he's begging you.
Amen, amen.
Richard, don't go that way.
Amen.
You're born again.
Amen.
I love you. I have the best for you. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Right. This is John 10:10. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
I will lead you to green pastures, still waters. Don't go that way.
I won't, Pastor. I won't, Pastor. Thank you.
So what is God telling you? Telling you the same thing. Says it to Richard, says it to me. Every single bad choice you made. And you know what? You don't have to make these bad choices anymore. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and your life will change. Tamara?
I hope that you loved today's message. I hope you loved it. You know, there's a epidemic, let's call it that. There's like an epidemic in the body of Christ right now that here's what they tell pastors. Don't use the word sin in church. Don't use that word. People don't like to hear the word sin. Don't say that. Here's a huge problem with that is they're talking to pastors and giving this counsel of how to grow your church, quite frankly, how to reach people. The problem is that's totally opposite of what God did and says. And so if we go that way, are we following God? Do you see the problem? Huge problem. So I don't know how this sat with you, but I hope, you know what, that you're just going, yes and amen. This is good. You know why you need to embrace this? Because you love God. You don't want to be deceived, right? You don't want to head off that way, do you? And be deceived. We're here to worship God, to give our life to Him, to follow Him. But if we're going to follow Him, then we have to follow His Word, right? He is His Word. That's what He said. You know what? We cannot correct what we won't confront. So today, we're confronting the reality of whatever we have going on in our life that is, here it is, sin. So is that unforgiveness? You know what? Is that covetousness? Is that anger? What is that? I don't know. Because it's the Holy Spirit's job to nudge you during the whole preaching of the word to go, hey, did you see how the illustration with Richard? Hey. But at the end of the day, it's your choice who you're going to follow. Are you going to follow your own doctrine, which really, it's an idol. You become the idol. Because you do what you want to do. And so you become God in your life. You're your Lord, not Him. Because you won't submit your life to His word and what He says. So you end up being your own. I want you to see some of these scriptures. If our faith, let me just say this. If our faith, if we can't walk it out, if it's not applicable, in our day-to-day life, if we can't walk it out and live it, then we become phonies. The whole thing is just a bunch of phony baloney, right? And that's not to say, well, look at this scripture here. This is so good. It says, this is in Hebrews 12:4. He says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood in your striving against sin. See, there is this struggle, and we're supposed to resist the enemy, and he will. Huh? But where does that begin with? That begins with, yeah, with us. Resist, and he will flee. And he says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And then listen to how important this is, because there is a resisting that needs to take place. It says, I am, now this is, where did I get this? Okay, this is in John 17:23. Well, first, let me stick there in Hebrews for a minute. I am praying not only for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me through the disciples' message. That's us. That's us. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that, listen to why, so that the world will believe that you sent me. Us walking out this struggle and being victorious in it is not only for us, but it's for the world, that they would see that there's something really different about Jesus Christ. Wow. Right? But if we don't resist and we don't apply reality in our life, and then we become all phony baloney. Hey, bless God, hey, hallelujah, and all this and that. We got the jargon down. We got the scheduling down. But we got no authority and power. We've got no freedom. We've got no peace. We've got no joy. We don't have, remember when Pastor was trying to pull them that way? Come on, it's good over here. I got good things for you. We don't end up with all of that, because we become these phony balonies, because we won't confront sin. We won't confront that which is not of God. We won't submit the will of the flesh to the will of the Father, like Jesus did. That's what Christians do. Amen? This is in John 17:23. It's just another scripture where this, where that he's, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, then the world will know that you sent me, that you've loved me, even, or that you love them even as you have loved me. It's so important, not just for us, but for kingdom. Does that make sense? This is God's plan. Amen. Amen. So let's be Christians. Let's be uncomfortable with sin in our life, but not be uncomfortable that sin is being talked about. You know what? Let's go ahead and confront it so that we can correct it. If we won't confront it, we won't correct it. Because we just pretend like it's not happening. We pretend like it's okay. We pretend like God loves me anyway, right? And all this other stuff that we just sell ourselves. So let's just, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings conviction to us. And that conviction is a good thing, because that means God loves us. He's trying to correct us as his children. You ever been corrected? You know what? My father was a disciplinary. You know what? We got corrected, and we got taught proper way to behave through that correction. And if nobody ever would have corrected us, I don't know that we would have ended up the way we ended up. You know what I'm saying? It was pulling that slack out of our chain that taught us character and kindness and all kinds of things that we were taught as children. You want to just...
If that's you, I want to... If you can't, it's okay. But if you can get on your knees, right where you're at, I want you to get on your knees. And let's ask God to forgive us. And let's just choose Jesus today. Let's make a marker let's draw a line in the sand. Let's say enough. Say enough. Enough of my foolishness. Enough of me allowing my old nature to control me. Now listen, I don't know what that is, but I know this. I know that you know what it is, or you wouldn't be on your knees. So whatever that is, don't make a plan in 3 months to change it. You make a plan that you are going to go home and make the adjustment immediately. And watch how God will help you. Watch how His Spirit will just, watch how good you'll sleep tonight. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness. We repent together. We thank you for your goodness. We will be led by your Spirit. Say, I will be led by that Spirit that lives inside me. I will submit to His Spirit every day. Thank you for this message. Thank you for God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.